I'm Seth Salinger, a manager with KPMG, and I'm fascinated by the practice of transfer pricing and its impact on the global market. Join me this episode as I explore the transfer pricing world with specialists who will explain the ins and outs of this niche practice where tax meets economics. Today, I'm joined by two guests, both from our Washington National Tax Practice, Senior Manager Brittany Harden-Tengue.
Hey, Seth. I'm so happy to be here. And on the other side, appreciate you hosting this very special episode.
And Managing Director Amanda Carey.
Hi, and I'm also happy to be a returning podcast guest.
On today's podcast, we are going to be exploring one of the topics that you can't seem to get away from on a daily basis, generative artificial intelligence, or Gen AI. Our two guests today published an article in Bloomberg called How Can Gen AI Improve My Transfer Pricing Process? So we have these two specialists to sort of delve into this new and fascinating topic of how Gen AI can be integrated into transfer pricing. So I guess my first question is, what intrigued you the most about the idea of Gen AI and transfer pricing?
For me, I'm always very fascinated about how new technologies can be incorporated into our day-to-day and really just kind of improve what we're doing. So, you know, I like to think about it as extra tools or, you know, resources that we have to be able to deliver services or do our job, complete our tasks just to the best of our ability. And Gen AI is really interesting in a couple of ways. One, because it's been so easily accessible. It just kind of hit the scene. Everyone was using it. You don't need to have like an advanced degree to necessarily get started with it. And, you know, it solves different problems than some of the traditional technologies that we've had. So the ability to understand language, to really interact as if you're a human, you know, that just makes it kind of another tool that opens up more possibilities when we're trying to efficiently, satisfy our processes.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I feel like Amanda is underselling herself. When I started at KPMG, Amanda was already at the forefront of how to utilize these new technologies. I mean, she's learned Python, she's pushed things forward and has taken the opportunity to at every point to incorporate technologies to make things faster, more accurate, and more efficient. So it only makes sense that, of course, she's at the front edge of this. And I've admired her in a lot of ways, which is why I was thrilled to write that article with her. And then similarly, I'm fascinated by technology, started my career, you know, with startups back in the day. But with what I'm particularly interested in is the opportunity to be able to use Gen AI to improve processes. Process improvement is a hobby and a fascination of mine as well. And so I think pairing these things together, we've seen a lot of ways that technology can influence and positively impact certain processes, make things more efficient, more accurate, all the things that we're passionate about. But with this new advent that is everywhere and that is so much more accessible in a lot of ways and makes that technology so much more powerful.
So Brittany, you were talking about your fascination with technologies. How does Gen AI's probabilistic nature differ from the deterministic technologies previously used in tax departments?
I think this is an excellent question and I'm really curious to hear Amanda's answer. But from my perspective, because you don't get the same answer necessarily from Gen AI, it opens up a lot of challenges. Now, there's a lot of ways that we've used technology and automation. If you have something that, you know, you can expect, so you can use different technologies like Alteryx, and I'll let Amanda speak to this because she's a lot more familiar with these things than I am. But I think what makes Gen AI a particular challenge is exactly that it's not always going to be the same. You may be able to create an agent or to use a certain prompt and it's going to give you exactly what you want 4 times out of 5, but that fifth time may be totally off base and it's a little bit unpredictable on how you can continue to ensure that quality stays there. Amanda, you have a lot more to say about this.
No, I mean, I agree. I think the difference is that Gen AI is not always going to give you a consistent or a repeatable response, right? The fact that it is based on a probability, it's telling you kind of what is, you know, the most likely response. And it's coming up with something based on that versus saying 1 + 2 = 3 every single time, right? You know, that is definitely one aspect. But along with that, I think on the flip side is it can also become more creative. So it just kind of opens up different ways to use it. If you want something that is going to say every single time 1 + 2 = 3, maybe not, Gen AI is your best tool. But if you want something to say, I don't actually know what A plus X equals, what could it be? You know, that's where kind of that probabilistic determination is just a little bit different. It's not always going to give you the same thing, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing.
The natural language nature of generative AI has made it accessible to a lot of people. Can you speak to how that's allowed the tool to be integrated more into the tax world?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the fact that there's a lot of tools out there, and the accessibility is kind of interesting because on one hand, it's very accessible to everyone, right? Like when ChatGPT came out, it's like anyone could log in and use it and just start using it immediately. And because it's using like your natural language, it becomes more accessible. You don't feel like you have to learn a new programming language or, you know, learn a new tool. It just that it feels like you're conversing like you normally would. So that kind of ability to just pick things up is helpful. Now, when you're talking about actual tool availability, it kind of depends on the approach that your company is taking, right? So usually companies are thinking about integrating Gen AI tools for their employees, right? So as a transfer pricing department, we're typically taking whatever tools are available to us, like, you know, maybe that's a Copilot if you're kind of using some of the Microsoft suites, maybe it's ChatGPT, maybe it's Gemini, you know, whatever that is, it's being integrated at kind of an organizational level. But the fact that the ability to access it and use it right off the bat is so much easier than a lot of other tools, I think it just makes it something that's easier for people to just pick up naturally.
For sure. I mean, they say that the hottest new programming language now is English, right? Because you can write a prompt and build something. I, you know a little bit of SQL. I can, you know, figure some things out. A little dangerous if I can get in the backside of a code. And I used Gemini to write a program that made an interactive training app that helped tax professionals, you know, put themselves in the seat of a tax authority to maybe think about things differently. It's trying to gamify these things that I would ordinarily never have tried to attempt to create on my own because I would have had to reach out to a developer. But it was something small and fun, and it just opened up the world of possibility.
Brittany, to shift gears just a little bit, you mentioned at the beginning that one of your passions is process improvement, and I believe one of the major ideas of process improvement is the concept of define, discover, and solve. Can you talk a little bit about how Gen AI can help us with this process improvement concept within transfer pricing?
Gladly. And in fact, I almost think of it as the other way. Something that I hear a lot from transfer pricing leaders and chief tax officers is, okay, we have this mandate. We know Gen AI is powerful, that we need to be using it, but how? And I think that, you know, just putting it out into the world because of all of the challenges that Amanda and I spoke about earlier with this, you know, there's a little bit of lack of creativity or unsureness, or where do I choose to insert this new technology into my existing processes or whatever it is I'm doing. And I think that when it comes to introducing something that's new and novel, it helps to take a step back and go back to the basics. So exactly like what you said, the fundamentals of any type of process improvement initiative are going to start with those three phases: define, discover, and solve. When it comes to the definition phase, you need to understand what the objectives are, high level what it is you want to look at, and how you define success. And then when you get into discover, it's taking a good, hard, honest look at what's actually happening, the good, the bad, the ugly. I think it's really important to make sure that you have all levels involved, because the people on the front lines of any sort of process or activity are going to have a different perspective than those that are maybe making some of the decisions. And then isolating and identifying where the challenges are, and then moving on to the solve phase, trying to figure out what the root cause is as best you can, come up with different solutions that could potentially try to improve that. And then again, reminding yourself what the future state is and what small steps you can take to get there. And so that's the overview of define, discover, solve. And we have lots of tools, right, and ways to approach each one of those things, depending on what the process is. And the point, bringing this back to Gen AI, is as you are trying to implement Gen AI into your organization, to do it effectively, you need to come back to the fundamentals and understand what's actually happening so that you're not just throwing things out and hoping they stick.
Nobody wants to really automate a bad process, right? So thinking about how to improve the process holistically using tools like Gen AI is kind of the framework we think about.
Absolutely.
I'm sure as organizations start to implement Gen AI on a more regular basis, they're looking for some easy wins to sort of get buy-in from their employees. What are some immediate benefits to Gen AI adoption within transfer pricing processes?
Well, I mean, I think one of the fundamentals of process improvement is essentially we're looking at waste reduction. And as we all know, you know, one way to think about waste is you've got your, you know, value-added activities and then your non-value-added activities. But in the real world, at most companies, there's also this third little sector of waste that we call necessary non-value-added activities. It could be things like, you know, making sure your invoicing is getting done, things that don't feel particularly valuable, but may take a lot of time for a very busy and important individual. And so that's where I think when you're going through and you've gotten through that discover phase and you're identifying, okay, this is what my process actually looks like, going in closer and saying, okay, where am I spending the most time? Where are there bottlenecks? Where are things getting off the rails a little bit or pushing us behind? And then figuring, and then going even further and saying, okay, is this actually value added? Yes, it's something we need to do. Is this non-value added? Okay, maybe it's something we need to do less of. Maybe it's something we automate it, something it's we pull away from. But I think where Gen AI really has a lot of potential is in that necessary non-value add. So when I think about the transfer pricing process, data collection is the bane of everyone's existence. You know, how many companies, I think I spoke with one company that has 150 ERP systems. So for them to do quarterly transfer pricing adjustments and, you know, all of the inputs that go into that and then harmonizing these things, then going back, I mean, it takes 2 weeks of someone's time, right? And they've got to do that every quarter and then at year end, it's all compounded. And so figuring out ways, so going through their process, understanding what it is that takes so long, and then saying, okay, this is definitely overall a value-added activity. You have to do your transfer pricing adjustments. But then what are the actual steps within that? Or does it need to be something that an individual does? Is there a way we can automate this in the retrieval process or in the harmonization process? And then that's where you then think about the strengths of Gen AI compared to other automated technologies.
Yeah, I think that's great. I totally agree with, you know, especially those kind of things that are value add, but they're still taking a lot of time, or they can be more efficient. Things that, you know, a person is currently doing, and maybe it's because there's not a really good way to fully automate it in a, you know, a way that it's always 1 + 2 = 3, right? So things like reading descriptions and summarizing them, things like, you know, going out and talking to people, doing interviews and understanding, you know, what's going on in this department or that department, what's changed, and then kind of aggregating that together to ultimately make some decisions. That's where some of the Gen AI tools, I think, can augment that process. You're still doing it, but it's not necessarily me sitting there doing every single thing. I'm using Gen AI to make me do it better or help me to do it better. I also think that, you know, speaking of the things that Gen AI is good at, you know, it's good at creating content. It's good at summarizing content. It's good at comparing content. So if you think about those activities that you're currently doing that follow, you know, that fall into those kind of categories, that's where you can think about inserting maybe Gen AI to help you.
One of the points you keep bringing up, Amanda, that I find really interesting is that in old technologies, you could type in 1 + 2 = 3 and get the same answer every time. I know from experience that when I've used Gen AI and typed in math equations, I've actually come up with the wrong answer, that it was not done correctly, and I've had to correct Gen AI on it, which I find, going back to what you said earlier about the probabilistic nature of Gen AI, it makes more sense. But this brings me to my next point. What are some of the key safeguards to prevent issues like data inaccuracy or even the overwhelming content production that you just mentioned?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, for one, these large language models are getting better every day, like at a rapid pace, right? It's alarming how things that, you know, you couldn't do a year ago, you can do now. So I think one is just the fact that the models are evolving. They're getting better at these types of things, you know, better at maybe not hallucinating so much or, you know, giving more kind of reliable content. But I don't think we can just rely on that, right? There's things that we can do to put more safeguards in place. So, you know, a couple of things to think about would be having the Gen AI kind of cite sources. So obviously that's kind of basic. Now we know that sometimes it will make up sources if it needs to cite something. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're asking it to not only back up the answer, but also sometimes show its thinking. So especially some of these kind of deep thinking models or deep research models, those are getting really good at not just telling you, hey, this is the answer, but why is this the answer? This is what I thought about. This is what I researched. I thought about this and that, and I compared it. And this is ultimately why I came up to this conclusion. And that kind of stuff, you know, I think is really helpful in building trust and, you know, kind of limiting some of those risks where it's not just, hey, I believe you, and it could be right or wrong, but it's giving you that rationale as to why this is actually the right answer. So that's just like, you know, as models are evolving, as we're, you know, understanding how to use them better, is putting in some of those kind of safeguards. The other thing I think is, you know, people are probably familiar with this concept of human in the loop. Like, it's not necessarily just saying, hey, I want, you know, some Gen AI tool to just do X, Y, Z, start to finish. I'm not going to look at it, you know, and we'll just blindly trust it. There's probably areas where you want to have a human in the loop to review the outcomes, to make sure that the prompting is correct to begin with, that we're getting good responses. And that's really important, and that it's done in like an intentional way, right? Like you have the human in the loop in the right way.
How do you ensure that the human in the loop actually adds value rather than an additional burden to adding into Gen AI?
I think that's a great question. And in piggybacking off of Amanda's answer, I mean, it comes back also to the intentionality, right? Of how are you deploying Gen AI within your organization? I've heard Gen AI as being compared to a very eager and well-intentioned intern. So exactly like Amanda said, you know, having them, you know, prove their work, right? You know, there are certain things that Gen AI should we should be particularly wary of, right? And that's why citing sources, showing your, you know, doing your math proofs, you know, just demonstrating where it came from. It was interesting to me speaking with some folks in Silicon Valley. And in fact, I mean, you know, leaders at Gen AI companies, and to hear them say, you know, there are certain things that, I mean, these are people who this is their bread and butter. They know this technology better than most. And they will tell you, I am always going to rely on the experience of a tax professional or an attorney, especially when reviewing contracts, because they recognize that there are a lot of things that Gen AI is well suited for. But the things where it takes a certain level of experience, expertise, nuance, these are not the strengths of Gen AI yet. So I think keeping that human in the loop, knowing where to use it. And again, like I said, when you're going through the process of figuring out where it makes sense to make the most of your resourcing, where are the places that it's maybe a necessary non-value add, or it's something that requires a little bit of creativity. And then if it's something that you could enhance and be that Gen AI could help embellish whatever the humans are already doing, I think is helpful. And then at the outset, let's not forget good old fashioned automation. There are going to be plenty of other opportunities if you go through that process of understanding what your process is, where you can be more efficient. And then also recognizing that it's an investment of time. You know, Gen AI will ultimately, and any other type of technology that's going to improve your process in the long run, will make you faster, but you have to take kind of, you know, 5 steps back a little bit to go 10 forward. And it's going to take an investment and focus to be able to get there.
Well, as tax specialists who are clearly on the forefront of the integration of Gen AI in transfer pricing, what are one or two key pieces of advice for organizations exploring Gen AI in transfer pricing?
My advice would be thinking about being intentional on where you're integrating Gen AI. And that doesn't mean necessarily being scared of it or cautious. You know, I think it's exploring what the options are. But doing it in a way where you're actually thinking about your process. What do I do day to day? What are the steps that I would really be better off if I had, you know, more time, more resources, didn't have to do things one by one, you know, those types of things in my process. And then exploring how to use Gen AI for those particular cases. So not necessarily just biting off everything, but take the small pieces in the process where you know that you could benefit, and then explore the different ways in which Gen AI could help you out there.
Yeah, I'm recalling an example. So Amanda and I presented a live demonstration in January of 2025 at the University of San Diego Transfer Pricing Innovation Symposium. And we were looking specifically at Gen AI and how people could use this in different ways. And so one aspect of the transfer pricing lifecycle, of course, it's very important, are the functional interviews. You know, you need to understand what's happening in different parts of your organization, but they can be expensive because you've got to take time to coordinate everyone's schedules. You have to obviously have, you know, a knowledgeable team to be able to ask the right questions, to be up on where you need to be sensitive to what activities may influence particular outcomes, et cetera, especially when you're looking at your transfer pricing policies, so that you can write up that functional analysis and then proceed with determining the correct, you know, economic analysis and best method. And so we did a live experiment, and we had an experienced, you know, transfer pricing partner from KPMG do an interview on the spot in the stadium and did a wonderful job. We recorded it. And then what was really nice was from that recorded interview, we were able to quickly develop a transcript and then run it through to be able to just do some initial sort of sorting of like, okay, how would you write up a functional analysis based on the functions, assets, and risks of what was described? And again, you would not go with what that finishing document was, but the point was we could get there so much faster. And that we were able to maybe verify. And so if there was an inhibition in the past of saying, oh, functional interviews are expensive, because by the time you've actually done it, and then you've got the notes, then you get the write-up and you get the verification. I mean, it's taken, you know, weeks of some poor associate's time, you know, to be able to document all this. We were able to get there that much more quickly. So does that mean that we can have more accurate transfer pricing reports in the future? Can we get more deeper into the nuance? Because what has been so challenging to get things at the outset has been reduced.
Well, I guess I have one last question to ask. Besides obviously reading your article, how can Gen AI improve my transfer pricing processes? For somebody who's new to Gen AI and really hasn't spent a lot of time in, you know, ChatGPT or Gemini, what's something that they can do maybe today or tomorrow to start experimenting with how Gen AI can make their transfer pricing or tax in general a little bit easier?
Yeah, I mean, I would say again, like it's finding a specific problem and then getting started and trying it out to see if you can solve it. That sounds super basic, right? But to me, it's always useful when you have something like an intention and what am I actually trying to do? And then being able to kind of explore different methods. And that includes, you know, looking at different models, looking at different Gen AI tools. Some of them are better at, you know, one thing or another. So kind of thinking about what you have access to and then trying out different approaches. There's also, you know, kind of an evolution, I would say, of these Gen AI tools. So starting with kind of just a basic chatbot, right? It's just a chat. I open up ChatGPT, I type in a question, it gives me an answer, I interact with it that way, right? That's like the most basic. So you're kind of starting off very simple. And that might give you some good information, but maybe it's not totally reliable, maybe it's not totally complete. So then you think about, okay, how can I improve this? And you can improve that with, you know, more advanced prompt engineering or creating personas, for example, that give not just a normal chat interface, but it tells the Gen AI, you know, assistant, if you will, how it should act, what you're looking for it to give back to you. And that can greatly improve kind of the responses that you get and the information that you get back. And then you think about building on top of that, say, okay, this is good for one specific thing, But what if I have a couple of different steps in the process? So like Brittany was mentioning with the functional interviews, what if I want first to go out, I want Gen AI to go interview for me. Then I want Gen AI to summarize the notes. Then I want Gen AI to, you know, draft up a functional analysis. I can now start putting together these different pieces of the puzzle to do overall a larger percent of the process, right? And then when we think about where are things going, we talk about, you know, a full agentic type model, which is taking that human action kind of out of it and letting the Gen AI agent itself kind of direct what's going on. So I just trigger the flow, and then the Gen AI kind of agentic system is basically saying, first go get the interviews, then summarize it, and it does the whole process. I would say we're not totally there yet in terms of like tools that are doing that end to end, but we're getting there, right? So that would be my advice is, you know, you don't have to start at the everything. Start at the beginning, work up to, you know, how this can greatly improve your processes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to next steps with Gen AI, I think you need to have both a top-down and a bottom-up approach. You need to from the top-down, you need to push those initiatives, make it important, and give people time to be able to experiment, get comfortable, get familiar, so that it's when it's time to deploy, you know, it's not coming out of nowhere. And so recognizing that you're going to need to take some time in order to invest in figuring this out. But then simultaneously, people need to be curious. They need to be interested. Is Gen AI, is it coming for your job? But somebody who knows how to use Gen AI will. I think with that, this was super fun. Thank you so much, Seth, for hosting.
Well, yeah, great to be here.
No, thank you, Amanda, and thank you, Brittany, for all of this great information on Gen AI. And for those of you that typically listen to Exploring Transfer Pricing podcast, please check us out on YouTube. This is, as I said at the beginning, our first video podcast, so you can start placing faces to the voices that you like to listen to on your way to work, maybe. So thank you so much for spending your time with us, and thank you so much for all of the information on Gen AI and tax.